to ensure that you get this series of messages and listen to them over and again as you allow the Lord to speak to you. It is important you understand what God is saying in this season. At the close of my message, I will share with you this morning that what the Lord woke me up early this morning to share with me and asked me to share with you as it relates to what is going on and what we must do as a people. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. I am reading from the New Living Translation. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they would produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, we produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted unto you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Corinth, declares this word, and I read, "There is a wide open door for a great work of ministry open for me, but there are standing too many oppositions to it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Limitations to fruitfulness. It is an undeniable truth that God wants you to be fruitful. There should be no doubt in your mind as to the purpose of God relating to you, his desire for you to be fruitful in all areas of your life. As you sit here this morning, as you watch by the way of Facebook Live, let that be a rekindling factor in your spirit. God desires for me to be fruitful. However, the question goes beyond that. The question goes to, are you ready to be fruitful, number one? Number two, are there things that constitute limitation to that very word? When we began this year, we established that whenever God has given a word, there will always be an opposition to that word. There will always be something that comes to limit that word in your spirit. Therefore, it is important that as much as you celebrate that God wants you to be fruitful, that you come to the realization and to the understanding that indeed it is the mind of God for you to be fruitful. But there are limitations that you and I must overcome. There are limitations that you must address in your life. There are limitations that are there to hinder this fruitfulness. Hallelujah. So it is undeniable that there exist oppositions and limitations that are constantly in the way of your fruitfulness. Therefore, in this series, we shall be considering factors and elements that stands to constitute limitation to your fruitfulness. Hallelujah. There are three major areas of fruitfulness that we will be focusing on: spiritual fruitfulness, relational fruitfulness, and financial fruitfulness. We will be looking at limitations that hinders your fruitfulness in these areas: spiritually, relationally, and financially. It is important that we underscore the truth of God's word as it relates to these areas, because when we are fruitful in these areas, there will be no limit to what we can accomplish in God. when we are spiritually fruitful, when we are relationally fruitful, when we are financially fruitful, there is no limit to what we will accomplish in God. So each of these areas are channels of the manifestation of the glory of God. Why must we be fruitful in these areas? Because they are channels by which God manifests his glory. God wants to reveal himself to the world. As we saw last Sunday, that the manifestation of divine glory is that God walks through his people to unfold who he is. Therefore, when I am spiritually fruitful, there is the revelation of the glory of God to the world that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of any man. So it is important that we be fruitful, that we don't allow limitations to hold us back, but that we be fruitful. Because when we are, the glory of God is revealed. When we are, the power, the excellency of God is revealed. Hallelujah. Therefore, we cannot afford to stay under the limitation of the enemy. We cannot afford to constitute limitations for ourselves. Hallelujah. Because there are two major areas of limitation. External limitations. Paul says that a great door of opportunity for fruitfulness in ministry has been opened to me, but there are many oppositions to it. Those are external forces that comes to limit him, that comes to hinder his desire to be fruitful. It was his desire to go into Asia Minor to preach the gospel, to be spiritually fruitful. But there were many oppositions. There were many things limiting his ability. Therefore, there are external factors. Even in this season that we are in, there are so many things coming against the body of Christ. Coming against you. Coming against your mind. Coming against your desire to be fruitful. These are limitations. There are internal limitations. Things that we do by ourselves. Things that we do in our lives. Things that we do against ourselves. That becomes a limitation to us. Things that we do. Behaviors that we continue to hold on to. Mindsets that we continue to entertain. Ideas that are contrary to God's will and purpose in our lives that we'll keep on holding on to. Traditions and customs and cultural behaviors. Religious inclinations that constantly hinders and limits our fruitfulness. But as the Lord revealed these things to you, you must spring to action. You must respond. Because you must be fruitful. We must be fruitful. It is the will of God that we be fruitful. There are no two ways about it. If there has ever been a time in your life that you desire to be fruitful, it is now. It is now. When the world is riveting in darkness, when everything around us seems not to make sense, when everything that men have held on to be the foundation of security for them are collapsing in their very eyes, the world is seeking for men and women who bear the fruit of the Spirit, who are fruitful in all godliness, whose character and ways and word are things that people can lean on and depend on, who revealed God, who manifests God. Look around you. What is going on? Everybody is in panic. People are taken over by fear. The situation has revealed the very nature of man and the heart of man in this season. And we see these things. And God is calling us to bear fruits. Fruits of hope. Fruits that encourages people to believe that this is not the end of it. That God is still on the throne. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 So what are limitations? Limitations are conditions or circumstances and issues that are restrictive in nature. A limitation is a condition. It is a circumstance. It is an issue that are restrictive in nature. thereby weakening your capacity to fulfill a desired goal or vision. They are restrictive circumstances, restrictive conditions that weakens your capacity to fulfill a desired goal or vision. That is a limitation. Something that is restrictive in nature, it holds you back. It hinders your ability and your desire to be fruitful. It stands in the way of what you want to achieve. It comes between you and the dreams and the goals of your life. It comes between you and the word and the mandate of God in your life. It comes between you and the vision that God has embedded in your spirit. These are limitations. Limitations are also issues that come about to constitute a handicap or a constraint to your passion, your drive in life, especially as it relates to those areas that God strongly desires you to flourish. Things that becomes a handicap, they are handicapping situations. It constitutes a constraint for you. Paul says, a door is open unto me, but I can't walk into it because there are many limitations. There are many things standing that are causing me to be handicapped in executing what God wants me to do. Hallelujah. There is a strong desire in me to take this gospel to those who have not heard it. But there are things that are limiting my ability and my desire to do that. I want a better life for my family, but there are many things standing in the way. I want to know God and know Him better. I want to grow in grace, but there are limitations that are there hindering me. Therefore, limitation to fruitfulness are both circumstances and issues. Circumstances are external things. Issues are internal. Things that are externally, circumstances and issues, things that are within you, that constitute a handicap, are restrained to you in such a way and manner that you become unfruitful. And I want to say to you this morning that we must overcome every form of limitation. Amen. We must overcome every form of limitation. Amen. When the Lord gives a word, it becomes your responsibility to run with it. When the Lord gives a word, it becomes your responsibility to arise to the occasion. When the Lord gives a word, it becomes your responsibility to fight for it. Paul said to Timothy, he said, make and wage a good warfare by and through the prophetic words that have been spoken over your life. These are not the days where you sit quiet waiting for God to do everything. These are the days where you must arise and take hold of what God has said and look into your own life and ask yourself, why am I still where I am today? Why are things not changing? Why do I have desires and goals to be better in God? And yet every year, year in, year out, I can only but wish that I did it, but I never arose to it. I can only wish that it was better, but I never get to do anything about it. We can't continue to live like that in this season, people of God. We cannot continue to wish and think that things will get better when we do nothing to arise to the occasion. Therefore, no matter what the external limitations are or the internal limitations are, they are breakable. There is no limitation that cannot be broken. Jesus gave the remedy in John 15. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, there is nothing that will be true or that will be impossible for you to do. Understanding the necessity to not just be Christians by mouth, because this is what is killing the world. We have come to the place where those, the Bible says, the chaff and the wheat will be separated. That's what we're seeing today. We must arise, people, and bear fruits for God. We must arise and be fruitful for God. But how can we be if we have entrapped our own selves? How can we be if the limitations we are fighting are self-made? How can we be when the limitations are self-imposed? Not God-imposed, because God wants you to be fruitful. Not satanic-imposed, because the enemy cannot hold you ransom if you decide to deal with him the way you should. Turn with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, please, as we read and expand very quickly on some general concepts of limitation, because what I intend to do in the course of this series is to look specifically to issues that hinders your that constitute limitation to your fruitfulness spiritually, relationally, and financially. So when I next I have the opportunity, we will be zeroing in on that. But this morning, I want to establish a general concept, an idea about this limitation and how they stand to hinder fruitfulness. Say with me, I must be fruitful. Say it one more time. Shout it if you believe it. Say it, I must be fruitful. Say with me, no limitation will ever be able to stop me. Every self-imposed limitation, today in the name of Jesus, I command it to be broken. Open my eyes, oh God, to the things that I do, the things that I believe that are limiting me. Open my eyes, oh God, to the things surrounding me, to the things around me that are limiting me. In the name of Jesus. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through, and mark those words and follow through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to all the trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Verse 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up or entangled in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think what I am saying. The Lord will give you understanding in all of these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul speaks to Timothy. And through this scripture, we come to the understanding of one of the limiting factors to your fruitfulness. Actually, we're going to look at two from this scripture. The foremost limitation is when we are unable to understand and accept the grace of God. When you do not understand and accept the grace of God, and when we don't develop our lives and our pursuit in life for fruitfulness around the grace of God. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace, in the grace, in the grace that God provides for you in Christ Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. So my inability to assess grace and to accept the provision of divine grace for me becomes a limitation in itself. Because without grace, I am incapable of bearing fruit. You cannot be fruitful outside of Jesus Christ. You cannot be fruitful by your own strength. For by strength shall no man prevail. Therefore, it becomes necessary you understand what the grace of God is all about. The grace of God is not just what brought you to salvation. It is more than that. The grace of God is the person of Jesus Christ. The grace of God is revealed and brought into your life through the agency of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. So for I to be fruitful, I must be able to understand grace and accept the work of grace. Why? Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So fruitfulness becomes possible when my dependence is on him who strengthens me. I become fruitful in any sphere of life, spiritually, relationally, financially, when my dependence in life is in Christ. Therefore, when I remove myself from grace and begin to pursue fruitfulness by my own strength, I stand to fail. I have created limitations for myself. For without Jesus, you can't love anybody. Without Jesus, forgiveness is impossible. Without Jesus, none of us can be kind and generous. Forget about it. Every politician has a price to what they give to you. Every philanthropist has a price to what they do. The only one who does things without a price is Jesus. Amen. We've seen that we all have the capacity and the propensity to do things that are unimaginable. Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 to 27. We've seen that life without Jesus is full of vices and wickedness. So grace is the door opener to all fountains of divine inheritance. Grace opens the door to the inheritances of God that enables you to be fruitful. So you cannot refuse grace in your life. You cannot walk outside of grace. You cannot be fruitful without grace. Hallelujah. 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 Grace also is your sustaining power and the force without grace, you can do nothing that is pleasing to God. Grace is the sustaining power and the force of fruitfulness. Paul says, by the grace that is upon my life, though being the least of the apostles, but by the grace upon my life. The grace upon your life is what positions you to understand the mandate of fruitfulness in your life. It is what energizes you daily to stay on the path of fruitfulness. You cannot refuse grace to be fruitful. Hallelujah. It sustains you. Because being fruitful is a hard job. It's not an easy thing to be spiritually fruitful, to live a life that is pleasing to God, to forgive those who wrongly offend you. Look at how Jesus says it. He said, pray for those who wrongly and willfully and despisingly offend and use you. Think about it. How can I forgive somebody who have done such things to me and bear the fruit of love if it is not by the grace of God? How can I kneel down and not pray brimstones and fire on the head of people, but I pray that their soul be saved? It is by the grace of God. How can I be altruistic and give out of all that I have and not minding what becomes of me tomorrow? It is by the grace of God. How can I open my door to strangers I do not know and allow them into my life when I don't even know what they're bringing in? It is by the grace of God. Therefore, without grace, there is no fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Be strong in the grace that God provides for you through Jesus Christ. I must stay connected to Christ. Therefore, when you see people who claim to be Christians and they're still struggling, they've not understood grace. When people are still struggling to forgive, still struggling to obey God, still struggling to be who God wants them to be, they have not fully understood grace. They are still trying by their own strength to be fruitful. Grace is what guarantees the favor of God. And without favor, fruitfulness is impossible. Grace guarantees the favor of God. Hallelujah. Grace is the restraining power that enables you to say no to all forms of fleshly things. Remember, we talked about the limitations are both circumstantial, external, and issues, things that we create for ourselves. It is by grace that you say no to anger. It is by grace you say no to envy. It is by grace you say no to bitterness. It is by grace you say no to malice. Thank God for the word that God brought through Pastor Jennifer the other day. It is by grace. Remember what the Bible says. It said we should put off these things. It is by grace that you are able to put off the shackles of the flesh. So when I am still full of fleshly things, I have not really embraced grace. And without me embracing grace, I'm going to bear fruits of the flesh. Because there are fruits of the spirit. And there are fruits of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5. These are the works, all the fruits of the flesh. It listed them. And he said, these are the fruit of the spirit. So grace is what empowers me to bear the fruit of God and to stay fruitful. So when the Bible says in Psalm 92, that in verse 50, that you shall be fruitful even in old age, it means that you stay fruitful as long as you stay connected to grace. You stay fruitful as long as you're what? Connected to grace. Help me tell your neighbor, you need to be strong in the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Tell him you need to understand grace. You need to embrace grace. Without grace, limitations exist. Say to him or her, limitations will exist if you do not understand grace and walk by grace. Somebody shout hallelujah. Grace is the person of Jesus. And grace is anchored on his finished work on the cross. The challenge with us is that we want to be fruitful on our own terms and conditions. We want to be fruitful the way we think fruitfulness should be. We want to be fruitful conditionally. Therefore, everything we do have a price to it. That is not the work of grace. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I want you to say that. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Say it one more time. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. In other words, I can do all things by the grace of God available to me. He says all things. All things. In the context of that, he was writing out of the prison. He was in prison. He was in shackles. But his shackles did not hinder the flow of grace. What are the things in your life that have become a god to you that you so much focus on that you stop bearing fruit because they exist in your life? What are the things in my life that have become such a domineering thing in us that today we are no longer fruitful because we are tending to these things? How can a man be in prison and still be writing letters to churches to strengthen them? Why is he not demanding that people should be calling on him and raising fundraisers for him to get him out? But in his shackle, there is the flowing of grace out of him. Because he has come to the place where he had known. Mahandobosa. The life that I live is not my own. It is for the Son of God who died, who loved me and died for me. Nevertheless, I live, not me, but Christ lives in me. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the suffering of his death, that I may possibly be conformed to the same kind of death that he died. When you come to where your life, you see, it is amazing to me that our Christianity in this generation is so conditional. We are Christians, but it is so contingent on so many things. If God don't do this, I don't do this. Who told you God is a trade by barter person? Who told you that God deals with you on the basis of your conditions? This man was shackled up, yet he was fruitful. But here we are, free as a bird. And yet we struggle to be fruitful. Why? We are yet to die to the flesh. Therefore, we stay alive to the impulses of the flesh. And everything gets to us. Dead people don't respond to stimuli. It's people who are alive that respond to everything that touches them. And when it touches them on the nerve that they feel should not be touched, their response is to shut down. People shut down on God. People are angry. Let me tell you this. People will die. Death is not the end of the journey. It's the beginning of the journey. I was in this church preparing for Bible study and I get a call. My brother is dead. I knew that at that moment there is nothing I can do about it. But I knew that I have the opportunity to respond to it the way I think God will want me to. There are circumstances that will befall us in life. But none of that should stop our fruitfulness. Because no matter what comes our way, one thing is sure, something is certain. God is still good. Amen. God is still good. I say, God is still good. I don't care who want to believe it. I believe it that God is still good. Irrespective of what comes, God is still a good God. And I must be fruitful. I have to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So strength to break any and every form of limitation that hinders your fruitfulness comes to you by embracing grace. Embrace grace. Why? Grace is transformative. Grace is what? Transformative. By grace, the mindsets of our life or our mindset are transformed, thereby making our approach to life to be that which will result in fruitfulness. By grace, our mindsets are transformed. And when our mindsets are transformed, it leads to fruitfulness. One of the issues that hinders fruitfulness is the mindset that you have, that I have. Grace opens my eyes to the love of God and the ever-abiding power, authority, and presence of God within me, thereby making it impossible for fear to dominate my mind. Grace does what? Opens my eyes to what? The love of God and the ever-abiding presence of God and the authority of God within me, and thereby making it impossible for me to live a life that is fear-driven. Because one of the limitations of fruitfulness is fear. Is what? Fear. Fear. Fear is a torment. Hallelujah. Therefore, it becomes a limitation when I do not operate in grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, declares this, that to each one of us, grace is given. You see, I've been reading that scripture for years now, but until yesterday, I never had the insight I had. Every time I've read about it, I've tied it to calling, the fivefold ministry. But yesterday, the Holy Spirit asked me, read it and think. To each one of us, grace is given. So when people say, I can, you hear people say, I will try by the grace of God. Often is a cliche to say, well, what you're asking me to do is impossible, but I'm going to see how to try. No. You have grace to do anything that God is calling you to do. Amen. Because grace is given. You can arise out of fear. You can arise in forgiveness. You can arise in great fruitfulness because grace is given. It is given. I don't know how to handle that person. Let the grace for relationship manifest. I don't know how to deal with these circumstances. Let the grace for that circumstance be appeared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understanding of grace allows you to flourish and be fruitful in all areas of your life. Hallelujah. Spiritually, you will flourish. Relationally, you flourish. Because without grace, you cannot succeed in relationships. It is the human nature to offend. It is the nature of grace to forgive. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The choice is yours to make. The choice is yours to make. Paul writing, reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. It says, no soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. The word entangle is from a Greek word, which I don't want to start pronouncing because I'm not going to pronounce it well. But what it means is to intertwine, be involved. It carries the idea of braiding of hair. You know how you take weaven or whatever it's called? And you begin to weave it together. It has the idea of intertwining and becoming involved in such an intricate way that the thing that is intertwined with you cannot be separated from you. You become one or tied to it. Hallelujah. So to be entangled or intertwine has to do with certain behaviors and dispositions that are contrary to grace and the word of grace. But these things constitute limitation for you. In other words, these are things you do, I do, that hinders our fruitfulness. My question to you this morning, what are the things that you have intertwined your life with? What are the things intertwined in your life that is hindering and causing a limitation to you? You know God have called you to be fruitful. But what is intertwined? What are, the writer of Hebrews calls them, he says, things that easily entrap us. Hebrews chapter 12. Easily. The idea there is that it has access to us so quickly that by the time we are recognizing it, is hindering our fruitfulness. They have the ability to sneak into, and because we allow it, it becomes so, we become so involved with it, that by the time you are recognizing what you've done, you automatically have hindered your ability to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Every opportunity God has presented for you to be fruitful, you got to maximize it. Don't allow certain behaviors that have become accustomed to you to become your hindrance to fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Things that easily we get intertwined with it. It is, some people say, it is my second nature. No, you don't have a second nature. You have one nature. The nature of Christ. Let's stop all these justifications and excuses that we create for ourselves. I can't just hold it back. You know, it's hard for me. No, it's not hard for you. You chose to make it that way. It is something that you have become intertwined with. So whenever it shows up, you embrace it as though it is nothing. You don't recognize that it is something that is hindering your fruitfulness. It becomes so easily associated with you that many times when people think about you, they think about that behavior, because whenever you show up, it shows up with you. And then when they look at you, you bring a word, and they're wondering, is it the same person? How can we differentiate between you and the God you're talking about and the person we see you to be? And our fruitfulness is hindered. Remember that our fruitfulness is that we must make people become like Christ. We have to become the fragrance of God. We must be the fragrance of God. That wherever we go, people perceive the aroma of God, not the aroma of our issues. Oh, people say, well, I have an issue. Yeah. Be it like the woman with the issue of blood. Her issue drove her to Jesus. She didn't allow her issue to keep her, but she had grace has appeared. He said, grace came, yes. He said, well, he said, he's walking. He said, I'm coming with my issue. I'm not stopping. I'm going with my issue. If I can only but touch the hem of his garment, I know that grace is going to flow to me. I will be made whole. But why is it that many of us have stuck on our issues? I hear people talk about it. Things that have happened in their life. Who doesn't have a past? How people have treated them. Who has always been treated right? The Son of Man was spited upon. None of us have gone through what Jesus went through. But yet he was full of grace. So don't sit back there and tell me I have issue. Take it to grace. Don't nurse your issues. Because it's hindering your fruitfulness. Don't nurse it. Don't give life to it. Don't continue to be intertwined with it, so much so that it becomes such a hindrance and a limitation to your fruitfulness. God wants you to be fruitful. You must be fruitful. There are four things that intertwines life, four elements that intertwine life. Number one is a contaminated soul, contaminated mindset. A mindset that is contaminated, that opposes the mind of Christ. And this mindset of contamination is called the mindset of unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief is when you intertwine your life with unbelief, you can never be fruitful. Forget about it. When every time God says something, you must question it, rationalize it. See how justifiable and intelligently it corresponds with your intelligent self. You can never be fruitful. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. The gospel itself is foolishness. It is not wisdom according to men. Therefore, if I begin to approach the things of God from the dimension of my mind and reasoning, I will never be fruitful. God does not think like you think. Amen. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Therefore, don't allow your mind to be contaminated, intertwined with unbelief. Unbelief is not for the unbeliever because they do not believe already. It's for you. You question everything. A word comes to you. You want to examine. Not that you should not test every spirit, but you know, each one of us know when God is speaking to us. You know it. Arise. Break out of any mindset of unbelief. Number two. Friendship and relationships that oppose spiritual growth. Friendships and relationships that oppose spiritual growth. These, when you get intertwined with it, it will destroy your fruitfulness. Friends are your influence. The people you listen to, the people that surround you, determines the outcome of your life. Therefore, when you think about limitations to your fruitfulness, begin by examining your influences. Begin by examining the things that surround you and the people you surround yourself with. Begin by examining the voices that are the voice of authority in your life. Begin by examining the people who have power to sway over you in ways and manners that their ability to control the outcome of your decision is such that influences your ability to be fruitful. How many people have caved in and given in and given out because they listened to somebody? Hallelujah. Number three. Lust and sinful behaviors that constitute weight and entraps our desires for fruitfulness. You know, when the Lord brought this to my mind, I was like, God, he said, if there has been a time when you must preach holiness and righteousness, it is in this season. Many of us don't like the word sin. We don't want to hear it because to us, we feel as though it is something too big. Yes, it is. It must be spoken against because it is a destroyer of fruitfulness. Number four, religious and cultural mindset that hinders the flow of grace and the power of God, thereby limiting your fruitfulness. Religious and cultural mindsets that hinders the flow of grace and the power of God, limiting your fruitfulness. Paul says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You must break away from these entrapments in order to be fruitful. As I bring this message to a close, I read to you what the Lord brought to my attention this morning. Early this morning, as I woke up and began to pray and meditate, the Lord brought these words to me in response to questions that I was asking him. And I read, these are challenging times. The voice of fear and confusion has arisen to its highest point since human existence. These are days when the foundation of free society is being shifted and rearranged. The world will not remain the same, says the Spirit of Grace. But I am forever steadfast, and my love for you is unending. Yea, I move mountains and bring things to pass. Know that there is an alliance, and an alliance being formed. The powers of evil are steadily increasing their presence among men, unlike never before. But my people must hear my voice. Yes, they must ready themselves, for these are signs of the end. Yea, many says this shall come to pass. Yes, it will. But they do not ask, what will it leave behind? They did not ask, how will it change things? They do not ask, what is the agenda of this evil? Oh, that my people may listen to the readings. Oh, that my people may listen to the readings of the Spirit, that they may hear what thus says the Spirit, as against filling their soul with the readings of the word. The voice of the enemy is taking hold of many, and every known institution of men and people have been carried away to listen to them. This is one of the intents of this evil, to create an alternative voice and to sow the seed of fear, confusion, and hopelessness. Then the evil one shall provide his alternative to the fear of men. A solution, they will call it. Yes, many shall celebrate its arrival, but it is the entrapping of the souls of many. Hear you, my people. Prepare yourself. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, my people, seek me with everything within you. This word is going to change drastically, and many souls shall be entrapped. Ask me what this is about. Ask me what you must do. Ask me what the agenda is. If you do not seek me at my face and stay open to my voice, know that this evil shall overwhelm many. It is not a virus. It is an alliance being formed, says the Spirit of Grace. Know that when the height of human fear arises to its zenith, any solution proffered shall be readily welcome and accepted, says the Spirit of Grace. This is not the Antichrist, yeah, but these are the foundational structures and strategies being established. Look forward to the solution that would be proffered, says the Lord. I speak to you that you may not say you were not warned. Yes, they shall convince many of the need to be more proactive, for such occurrences and devices shall be implanted in people as a way of identification of possible exposure to foreign pathogens and viruses, for many are said to be asymptomatic. To stop such disease occurring again, solutions shall be proffered that would be welcome, but what is the end game? Remember that democracy is one of the major foundations of free society. When democratic leaders and institutions cannot protect and provide for its people, what shall be the alternative? I call my people to a solemn assembly. Seek me for the days ahead. Seek me for what lays ahead. Gain the wisdom of the Spirit and know what must be done. You are the light. Your light cannot be dimmed in this darkness, says the Spirit of Grace. Amen. Let us arise, knowing fully well what God is calling us to. These are great seasons, but they are seasons we must be fruitful. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you have spoken to us as a loving father speaks to his children. May we not just be listeners and hearers, but may we be doers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor Prosper for the announcement, and we'll be